This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with James Scully. It's your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in, talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing. The number to join us, 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. James, we are not done with the Kentucky Derby qualifiers, but we are done with the major Kentucky Derby qualifiers. And it was a fun weekend last weekend, my friend.
Yes, it was. Good evening, Bobby. And we had a really good race with the Bluegrass Stakes with Sierra Leone, beaten just a touch. I think both colts are potentially major contenders, or not potentially, are major contenders. At least Sierra Leone's a major contender, and just a touch is dangerous as well. And then the Wood Memorial is obviously resilience is going to head to Kentucky Derby from there. We'll see if deterministic goes on. And Stronghold really ran a big race to beat Imagination by head in the Santa Anita Derby. And he's an improving son of Ghost Sapper from Phil D'Amato. So, yes, all three races I thought last Saturday were strong and will produce runners for the Kentucky Derby. And Stronghold and Resilience might be a little bit of a price, but at the very least, they're worth a look for to hit the board in the Kentucky Derby.
All right, I want to ask this question that Bob Nastanovich wanted me to ask you before I forget about it, and it involves the fillies and the Kentucky Oaks. First of all, we saw an impressive Santa Anita Oaks win by a Bob Baffert filly, Nothing Like You, beating a stablemate Kinza. Neither of them, of course, are eligible to run in the Kentucky Oaks. Where's My Ring as a maiden won the Gazelle very impressively at Aqueduct. She's going to Kentucky for the Oaks. And then a week ago, at the Grade 1 Ashland opening day at Keeneland, in what I thought was by far the best semblance of three-year-old fillies thus far this year, Leslie's Rose got the upset win coming back after a poor effort in her previous start at Gulfstream. She got the job done in the Ashland at odds of 9-1. I'm looking now, James, at KentuckyDerby.com, which gives us basically all the information we need to know about the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, including the points qualifiers and how many points they have. And I was looking at the Oaks board and knowing that they allow 14 runners in the Oaks. The first 12 runners have 54 points and above. Then numbers 13, 14, 15, and 16, who are Lemon Muffin, Into Champagne, Ways and Means, and Our Pretty Woman, all have 50 points. And we want to know, how do they decide which two of those four get to be in the starting gate?
By non-restricted stakes earnings, by stakes earnings in races that aren't restricted. So basically, Darren Rogers has a leaderboard. He sends out an update weekly, and you can access that. On that Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks leaderboard, it ranks the horses in order, and one of the columns will be non-restricted stakes earnings, and that's the difference. So, because you'll see, even like in the Derby, like number three and number four are Catchy Freedom, and heck, I can't even remember who it is, maybe Stronghold or somebody. But the reason they're tied for like in points, either third or fourth, there's a tie up in the Derby. But it's the same thing in that race. It's going to be decided by non-restricted stakes earnings. And yeah, I think the Oaks is a dynamite race. Bob Baffert does have a couple real nice fillies on the West Coast, but you look at the field that's being assembled for the Kentucky Oaks now. I think that Ways and Means and Our Pretty Woman have a viable chance to get in the race. We'll see what happens. Chad Brown has one filly in the race that's going to apparently point for the Black Eyed Susan, which is going to move Ways and Means one spot closer. And she, I think she'll take a lot of betting support if she gets in the race. But I do think you could make a case for about eight of the runners. Leslie's Rose, I thought, was outstanding in Friday's Ashland. Heck, I thought Power Squeeze looked good the week earlier, and Torpedo Anna looked good. And then, of course, you know, you've got Tarifa and Where's My Ring is actually going to have, at least on the Bristnet Speed Ready scale, the fastest, the fastest race. Her Gazelle was really fast on Saturday. She got a big number. And I really think she's really just peaking right now. She'll face tougher fillies at Churchill. But you can't count her out from win consideration.
I'm a little disappointed. I think the field is so deep that there are runners that are not close to getting in that I think would have a big chance to win, including Candide, who I think had it all against her in the Ashland. You know, coming off the layoff and a slow pace and a short stretch and having to go wide. And she really didn't run a bad race at all. I mean, she was favored in the Ashland somehow. And I think if she ran in the Kentucky Oaks, she would be one of the top three or four betting choices in the race, but she's not going to get in.
Yeah, I agree 100%. She got the absolute worst of it in that Ashland. The fact was they ran all these dirt races Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And for the exception of the Bluegrass, it looked like it was impossible to close wide on that track to win. There were no horses that were winning from off the pace that weren't in contention, turning for home, and none that just closed wide and got it done. And I thought Just FYI, who was five wide, and Candide, who were six wide, got the worst of it, especially Candide. And so I didn't hold that effort against her. And I thought Just FYI ran really well to get past Impel, who got a perfect trip for second. And I thought that, Iron Ortiz Jr. gave Leslie's Rose a really good ride to split rivals turning for home instead of trying to take her wide, because that would have been the worst way to go.
Number to get in is 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. All right, let's quickly bullet point what we saw last weekend as far as the boys go. We had the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby. Sierra Leone, just a touch, 1-2 in the Bluegrass. Wood Memorial, there was a spill in the race with a big long shot, but big story that Resilience won the race, 100-1 shot, ended up running second. Deterministic, Tuscan Sky, the two favorites were awful in the race. Sounds like Deterministic, who has enough points to run in the Kentucky Derby, is probably not going to run now in the Derby. In the Santa Anita Derby, two favorites battling down the lane, and believe it or not, Bob Baffert lost as the Phil D'Amato trainee Stronghold gutted out the win. He is headed to Churchill Downs as well. Your impressions of the Bluegrass, the Wood, and the Santa Anita Derby?
I thought in the Bluegrass that Top Connor really, did his job for his stablemate Sierra Leone. He sprinted forward at the start and set a really fast pace, and Just a Touch was just chasing him all the way, and he put him away at the top of the stretch, and he looked like a winner. I mean, his jockey, Florent Giroux, said he thought he had it in mid-stretch. But Sierra Leone turned in a freakish performance. I mean, he's 100% against the flow of that track. He's angling in and out on the far turn, and then he closes six or seven wide in the stretch and just rumbles home. You know, if you look at the head-on, he's not the prettiest movers, but when you watch him run, he is covering so much darn ground that he gets rolling and he goes by horses really, really fast. And he has got a powerful turn of foot. Obviously, you look at Fierceness and he's had all these inconsistencies, and he's speed, and he's going to have to get the trip. But if he got the trip, he'd be really formidable. And it's the same way with Sierra Leone in the Derby. He's going to be way back in the pack. He's going to have to run by all these horses and, avoid getting just stopped cold and having a bad trip. But if he gets the trip, maybe he'll go way wide. He is an absolute threat to run by all of them and win the Kentucky Derby from off the pace. He's really good, and he's improving, and he's making only his fifth start for Chad Brown. As far as the Wood Memorial, with Deterministic and Tuscan Gold or Tuscan Sky running poorly, You know, the rest of the field was not strong, was very suspect. But Resilience, I thought, ran a really big race and improved off the fourth in the Risen Star. And one thing about him is he's got some tactical speed where he could sit like fourth or fifth theoretically. And if he keeps moving forward, I'm not saying he can't hit the board. And he's going to be double-digit odds probably. And so to me, he has something going for him, even though that wasn't a real strong race. I thought Stronghold just showed like great guts and determination, and I like those qualities from a horse, just to power his way through horses. Mike Smith really tried to tighten him up on that. EJ got the cup, that long shot Turf Paradise went Derby winner, and he just like powered his way through, and he like surged this clear lead with about like less than an eighth of a mile to run, and then Imagination just came back on him. I thought there for a minute he was just going to win, but then Stronghold dug deep and finished up best to win by a head. And so, you know, he's moving forward for Phil D'Amato. I'm not sure about his, threshold for a mile and a quarter distance, but, you know, he's run really well in his last two races, and he's a good horse, Stronghold, in my mind, Bobby.
All right. I actually got an email from a listener who says they don't really want to call in, named Doug, and he emailed from Colorado. He wants to know, when do you think a decision will be made on whether Endlessly runs in the Kentucky Derby or the American Turf?
Well, he worked the other day, and I think he worked pretty good for Mike McCarthy, so I think they're leaning towards running. They're still leaving it open, I guess, but my opinion is he's going to run and enter. I don't see any if he took to the track okay the other day, I would anticipate he's going to be in the field, and he'll maybe making his first start on a dirt track on May 4th.
All right. So now the tough question with Endlessly, and there's nobody who knows this. I think even whoever exercise rides him or the trainers and everything, they don't know for sure, but If I told you, James, that Endlessly will be as good on dirt as he was on synthetic, is that good enough to win the Kentucky Derby?
Possibly. I mean, he was.
That's
I mean,
not an answer. What kind of answer is that? I could have given you possibly.
No, not off his last race. Not off his last race. But I don't think Animal Kingdom was good enough to win the Derby off of his win either. I mean, that was, I think you got to keep moving forward and really take to that track. And one thing about Animal Kingdom, though, I don't think that was the strongest field he was beating. And I'm a little bit like, we'll see what happens in the race. But I get a feeling that this field is at least a little bit like better quality with Fierceness and Sierra Leone and possibly Forever Young if he shows up with his AF or and Catching Freedom maybe and then recent additions of the Derby. So no, I right now I don't think that if he takes to the dirt track he'll be good enough to win. But if I'm playing, I'm a somebody who's going to play vertical exotics, tries and supers in the Derby, and he's not a horse that I'm going to cross off. I'm going to be watching to see how his next couple works go in the weeks to come.
All right. Number to get in is 888-966-4776. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at bristnet.com/APR. The bristnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit bristnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Bristnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. Can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders! Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
Hey! Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Bristnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. Let's get to the phones. Mike in New York, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I heard you guys say last week about talking about fierceness, how you like to see his horse's last race be, you know, where they might have an improvement. That was such a big race. Then you talked about some others that didn't do too well, like materiality, whatever it was. But I got another factor that I haven't considered yet. And if I had fierceness or Sierra Leone, I'd be kind of worried over the last 3 years because of the Mattress Mack factor. Whatever favorite he's bet's kind of gone down. And prior to that, you almost had six or seven straight with the point spread. Not saying it's anything, but it does seem to work against you if you pick that favorite with Essential Quality, Epicenter, and Angel of Empire all going down. So if Mattress Max throws his few mil on either Sierra Leone or Fierceness, that might be another way you can take off.
All right. Well, first of all, that's really funny that you mentioned that. Better question, Mike, is when does Mattress Max let everybody know who he's betting?
I think it's usually either the day of the morning of it, or sometimes like one or two in the afternoon, he'll tell who that 2 mil or whatever is going to plunk down. But if you have a 4-5 shot, I guess you're okay, because I think he said he wants even money or better or something. But just seems like whatever he takes kind of goes by the wayside. So I was just saying that could be another factor other than the other two you guys had last week.
We appreciate it. Do you have all joking aside? Do you have any yays or nays as far as either Fierceness or Sierra Leone goes going into the Derby?
Oh, I did notice last week. It seemed, I know nobody said anything about it, but it did look like both Resilience and Sierra Leone, and not that it's that big a deal. It all could be depending on left to right-handed whip. But it seemed like one of them bore in and the other bore out in that race.
All right, interesting. And appreciate the call, Mike. So James, that's not the first time that Sierra Leone has done that. Now, I will say this. Horses who are way out in the center of the track, it seems like have a tendency to kind of head toward the rail when they're coming down the stretch. And with the way Sierra Leone runs, he's almost always going to be in the center of the track when they're turning down, when they're coming for home.
Yeah, and, you know, Tyler Gaffione, you know, said after the race, he was sort of keenly aware that he had had an issue before, like striking the front before the wire and losing his focus. And sure enough, once he had an overhaul just a touch, he drifted straight inward. And, not only that, I mean, Mike makes a good point. I mean, his behavior at that starting gate, he had never done that in his previous three starts. And then at the Bluegrass starting gate, he balked at it and he balked repeatedly. And it looked to me watching it, you know, he's such a big horse. They were having trouble getting behind him. And you know, the gate crew was, so we'll see. I mean, that would be a bad sign at the Derby. Maybe it's just a one-off thing, but, man, you know, those are a couple of like signs where he's like still like, you know, may not have his head all together, you know, mentally. And the Derby could be such a grueling, tough test. You know, you got to step forward from that perspective. I think that like with resilience too, you know, I mean, I think that horse is still learning as well. I mean, he's still a little bit raw and, but that you don't want to see that ever. And, you know, and Mike also made a good point about, you know, talking about fierceness. Like he ran such a huge race. I mean, can he move forward off of that in the Derby? That is a fair question.
Yeah. And as far as Mattress Mack goes, he may not be running that well as far as these big Derby bets or even baseball bets go. But overall in life, I think he's running really, really good. So it might just be
Mike pointed out that he doesn't point it in until so late. You already have to be on the record with your pick, and there's nothing you can do about that. He did point out all the long shot winners we've had or good price winners, but there was a stretch for 2013 with Orb through Justify 2018 where it was all favored. So that can just go back and forth.
All right, let's get back out to the phones. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Tom.
Good. Hey, Bobby, I agree with you 1,000% on the comments you made at the end of the last show and on this show about Candy. If you watch that race, that horse made a heck of a turn going into the far turn, and until they made the turn for home, and just like you said, got caught out wide on a real speed favoring racetrack. That just, I don't know. When you look at this field, and I was just looking at it, you know, of these horses, and it's just a shame these trainers don't run these horses more early in their 3-year-old year to, you know, have one more race or one more chance, because I did think that is a very good foundation race. I guess my second point is, are they going to draw, I know they're drawing the Oaks and the Derby on opening night at the card. Are they going to draw the full cards that morning, I guess, on that Saturday morning? So we should have our past performances sometime Sunday, I'm assuming, correct?
James, yeah, I would think so. I don't know for sure, Tom. Oh, go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say you'd know better than I would on that.
But Tom, I would think that, like, I mean, you're 100% right. They're going to draw the races on Saturday night in between races on the opening night card. And yes, I would think that if they're drawing those races, they're going to go ahead and get the final file done as soon as possible and get it out there. So I would think that. But I don't know for sure.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm looking at the condition book right now,
and it's
listing for all of the races on both Oaks and Derby Day are going to be drawn on Saturday, April 27th, whether they're stakes or not.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, they'll take those earlier in the day because it's a night racing program, and then fill in the Derby and Oaks fields and, you know, get that file out pretty quick because that's an advantage to everybody. A lot of people are looking to get their picks in. At least, you know, I have to get my picks in for those cards, and the sooner they're up, the better.
All right. And as far as Candied goes, listen, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, you wish they, Tom, you wish they would run their horses a little more often. But the fact is, maybe Candied was not ready to run until, you know, she trained up and went in the Ashland. And listen, they probably were thinking that, hey, if she doesn't run well enough in the Ashland to have enough points for the Oaks, then maybe she shouldn't be in the Oaks. This is a rare instance where she didn't make enough points in the Ashland to qualify for the Kentucky Oaks, but she had so many things against her that she probably would still be good enough to be a major Kentucky Oaks contender. So it's just unlucky as far as Candy goes. We'll see where she shows up next, but I think she's got a bright future for Todd Pletcher. Let's get one more call in before the break. Brett in Indiana, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, Brett. How are you?
Good, good. I just called up. I went to the Bluegrass last weekend. It was my first time at Keeneland, and I know I'm not breaking news here, but it was a beautiful facility, great day, and a great day of racing. But what I wanted to call in, I was sitting there in the grandstand, and I'm watching Sierra Leone having gate issues. James, you just talked about that, and I was thinking to myself, before they even start the race, Sierra Leone has enough points to get in the Derby. Do you think, I was wondering whether Chad Brown ever thought about scratching, as the gate antics are going on, figuring we've got enough points to get in, let's not take any risk, let's get out of here. Do you think that,
Oh, no way. He had to run. Brett, he's so lightly raced, and he needed the experience, and they had him all keyed up for that race too. He was like more ready for that race than the Risen Star, and it would have been tough just to scratch him and bring him back, 4 weeks later.
It made me a little nervous how long it was taking to get him in the gate. That's all.
It did. He almost backed into the tire. I mean, that was like, there was a tire back there for the tractor, and I was like, don't let him bump into that tire,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was obviously a super impressive performance. I have to say, and maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment here, but I think he's better than Fierceness, and I think he's got to be the favorite on Derby Day.
Well, I don't think that that's the way it's going to shake out, but obviously he's going to be one of the favorites. I think Fierceness, the races he ran in both the Florida Derby and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and we appreciate your call, Brett, but the races he ran in both of those, my guess, will easily be the best speed figure races of any of these Derby horses going in. It's just a question of whether or not he's going to run another race like that or if somebody can improve enough to beat him. But he's right. Sierra Leone was super impressive. I mean, there's a chance, James, that Sierra Leone won both the Bluegrass and the Risen Star when things were against him both days. I don't think he didn't look like he liked the sloppy track to me at all in the Risen Star, and he was still good enough to win, and it was a race that speed figure wise didn't come back that fast. They've since adjusted it if you're a racing form buyer speed figure guy, which I am not, but so many horses have come out of that Risen Star to run well in their subsequent starts that Andy Beyer basically said we had to increase everybody by 5 points. And as I said, I'm not a buyer speed figure look, I don't, if you tell me 95 or 106 buyer speed figure, I don't know. I know 106 is better, but I don't know, what that means. But that
was a really sloppy track at the fairgrounds. And if you look at the charts, there weren't deep wide closers. And the fact he was like so far wide in that race, and he's pretty far wide in the, not as far wide as the Risen Star, but he's just going to run wide. And even in the Remsen, Bobby, I'd say he was against the flow of the track that day. He was the only late runner to make a serious impact like that on that sloppy track at Aqueduct.
Yeah, and when it comes to Kentucky Derby Day, obviously we don't know when you use the term flow of the track. Very rarely is Churchill Downs, and especially on Derby Day, the flow of the track being in favor of the closers. It's either fair or it seems like it's good to be up close to the pace. But whatever, at least he's proven that he doesn't have to have things all in his favor to still win races or be right there. And he's obviously an improving sort. We will see how he does behaving himself at the starting gate when there are 19 other runners and there are 150,000 people in the stands. But that's why they take him to Churchill Downs early and why they school him. As far as what Brett was talking about him possibly scratching out of the Bluegrass, listen, I don't want to put too much into it, but I think we take for granted that these races like the Bluegrass and the Wood and the Florida Derby and the Santa Anita Derby and those that we call them preps for the Kentucky Derby, which they are. These are big races themselves. This was a $1 million purse in the Bluegrass, $581,000 to the winner and grade one winner status. Lots on the line aside from the 100 Derby points if you get the win. And not that I'm too worried about the bank accounts of Peter Brandt and the Magners and Mike Tabor and Derek Smith and them that, you know, they're some of the biggest players in the game, but it's still a very prestigious race with a whole lot of money on the line. It's an important race to win.
Not only that, but Chad Brown had plotted everything out for this colt, months in advance. And that would have been a setback to not have everything go according to plan. And that plan included running in that race to have a strong prep for the Derby and to keep moving forward in the Derby off of.
All right. We are going to take a break. If you're on the line, please hold on. We will get back to you right after we come back. BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When the spring meet ends, summer success begins. Buy, sell, fresh winners, hot prospects. One night, one chance. Finish strong. Don't miss out. The Keeneland April Selected Horses of Racing Age Sale, Friday, April 26th.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. BristNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Number to get in, 888-966-4776. James, before we go back out to the phones, where is your best bet this weekend, my friend?
I am taking number two Taxed in the Apple Blossom. I really loved her come back at 6 furlongs. I mean, that distance was too short for her. And, you know, to me, she was a filly last year that was starting to come on when she won the Black Eyed Susan. And I thought that was a sharp effort. And just never, like, really, I thought, got to her best form and was done by September. But I think she couldn't have come back stronger in that race. And I don't think this is the strongest addition of the Apple Blossom. And I think she'll really move forward off that race, get a good setup for her closing kick. And I like Taxed at 5-1 on the morning line with Christian Torres.
All right, she'll be coming off the pace. We'll have to pass, among others, the favorite Adair Manor, who ships in for Bob Baffert. Taxed 5-1. On the morning line in the 11th race Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade 1 $1.25 million Apple Blossom handicap. Let's go back out to the phones. Shane in North Carolina, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby and James, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm good. I hope you guys are. Sorry, I hadn't called in a few weeks. Just had a lot going on, but been listening every week. And, you know, I know most of the preps are done, and Fierceness obviously put on a show in the Florida Derby. I want to get your guys' thoughts on Catalytic. I mean, again, I know it was the Fierceness show, but I thought Catalytic in what his third start, I mean, showed something to hold off what I think are some pretty good horses behind them. You know, you got Hades who's still trying to get into the Derby. Thoughts on Catalytic moving forward in the Derby? You know, I know he's a Safi Joseph horse, and, you know, his record's not been great in the Derby with Guadavario and, I think, New York Traffic. So your thoughts on Catalytic on the first Saturday in May? Too much too soon? I know he's got some early speed, but, you know, what are your thoughts on his chances in Louisville?
Well, before we get to that, Shane, and I want James to answer that question. What do you think of Just a Touch, who basically mirrors Catalytic? He's run three times now. He's coming off a nice second-place finish in the Bluegrass. And speed figure-wise, he looks like he's a major player headed in the right direction. Do you think, if you like Catalytic, do you like Just a Touch as well?
I do, but I think we're going to get better odds on Catalytic.
That's for sure.
I'm thinking he's going to give more value. And not that I think Catalytic can win it, but, I mean, I think he can hit the board, you know. And just seeing him hold off those horses in the Florida Derby I thought was impressive. But, yeah, I like Just a Touch. Do you think he turns into the wise guy horse? You know, I feel like he's getting talked a lot about right now. I don't know. There's something about Catalytic, and I think that he can, you know, outrun his odds in May.
All right, appreciate the call, Shane. So what do you think about that, James? He's intrigued by Catalytic, who obviously was not much of a match for Fierceness in the Florida Derby, but he did finish second. He's a horse that nobody's talking about. He's going to be a gigantic number in the wagering, but he's lightly raced and obviously headed the right direction.
Yeah, definitely headed the right direction. And he's kind of horse that, you know, could keep moving forward and surprise me. But I thought he ran a really good race in the Florida Derby, maybe second, and it was a good trip, you know, that day to get to second early. I thought a little bit it benefited him that Hades, you know, just broke, I thought, flat-footed. And once he got caught behind horses, he was no factor. Hades had been 3-for-3. He had won the Holy Bull on the lead. He was a front runner, and he never showed any speed. And, you know, I don't think he would have been able to run necessarily with Fierceness, but I think he would have definitely have given Catalytic. So I thought Catalytic got a nice trip as a result of being like a clear second. And while there were some nice horses on paper in that race entering it, you know, Conquest Warrior the second choice in the wagering, just could not get past Grammo the first, who was never a threat to Catalytic. So I thought he just sort of got a favorable trip where he held his positioning, and he could be part of the pace in the Derby, but I can't envision him like taking a huge step forward and challenging for the win or anything.
All right, let's get back out to the phones. Charles in Mississippi, welcome to the show, my friend. Is Charles there? I don't hear Charles. We're going to try again to get Charles. All right. While we try to find Charles again, he could be driving through the mountains on the way to Oaklawn Park.
I think it's supposed to be fast at Oaklawn, though, which it will be nice. I'm here in Lexington, Bobby, and we've had like three straight days of rain, and man, it's been a lot of rain.
All right, while we look for Charles again, getting back to what you were saying about Catalytic having a good trip in the Florida Derby, 20 horses in the Kentucky Derby, how many of them do you think get good trips? How many of them get bad trips in a 20-horse field? What is your best guess? You know, we're always handicapping, saying, well, if this horse gets the right trip, but obviously not all 20 are going to get right, going to get good
yeah,
trips.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a handful. I mean, you know, you're going to
a handful will get good trips, or a handful will get terrible trips?
Oh, no, we'll definitely get good trips. You know, there'll be at least a handful of horses that are sitting exactly where they want to, and there'll be other horses that make their own trip and overcome circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, yeah, it can be a roughly run race. And to me, you know, if you're rallying from off the pace and make an impact, that's one thing. But a lot of times horses that at least will hit the board or run in the top four, sometimes just work out this, you know, good trip, you know, in the top five, six runners. And, you know, are just in the position to hold their positioning, you know, at the top of the stretch because you don't have a lot of horses making up, you know, serious headway from off the pace. The one thing about the Derby, though, it's been different the last 2 years to me where they've just had, like, really multiple horses committed to the lead and have established a fast top pace at every, you know, pole, every fraction. And, you know, that might be the way that it's just sort of going right now. And, you know, we could have a very hot pace once again in this year's Derby.
All right. Well, a guy whose entire life is a good trip is Charles in Mississippi. Let's try to find him again. Charles, are you there, my friend?
Yes, Bobby. Can you hear me?
We can hear you perfect.
Well, you know, I'm in the road, Bobby. I'm in that long highway.
Hmm. Well, we know you're headed somewhere. We know you're headed somewhere good, so we're happy for you there.
Yeah. Well, I will. Yeah. Thank you, Bobby. Look, I thought the most impressive horse I saw all weekend was Just a Touch. I thought he got and I'm going to say this very kindly, I thought he got a less than exemplary ride in the Bluegrass. I think I don't know why. I think he will be dealt with. I'm just telling you.
Well, Charles, you got to understand the way that track was playing. It was favoring like speed, and Florent Giroux did not want to be too far back, so he settled in second. Now he was chasing in second, but. You know, an argument could be made that wasn't the worst place to be.
But that's the way Giroux always rides, James. You know, he's not, to me, he's not a top-shelf rider, okay? You know, and, I thought, with his Saudi crown over there, the backup, you know, I think I'm not going to beat up on him. But I'm going to bet.
Hero Gunrunner.
Oh, God, you could have rode Gunrunner, Jay.
All right, Charles, go ahead.
But the horse I'm waiting to see is Skelly run it. I just think that if that horse is even money, then I will have to drop a few coins on him. And I'm going to be like I'm going to rank the horses that I see right now. I see Fierceness at top. I see the Japanese horse. I don't think you can discount him, and I don't think you can discount my horse, Misty Dan. And I think the Oaks will be the most heavily contested Oaks that's been in the last 15 or 20 years that I've seen. I mean, they've got some really good fillies running, really good fillies. And that performance that Anna made over there at Oakland Park, breaking out of that 11 or 12 hole, it was super impressive. And she ran a fast time. She did it the way a good horse does it, baby. But that fierceness is going to have to be dealt with, guys. So you know what? Jai Velasquez knows how to ride a horse. He knows how to ride a horse.
And he's won three derbies.
Yeah. Yes, he has. And he's won me a lot of money on horses that, I mean, he is, if he's got the horse, he will get him to the finish line, guys.
Charles, you mentioned you like Skelly and the Count Fleet. Have you looked at the Apple Blossom yet?
I like a Dare Matter and Tax for just a 1-2 exacta.
All right, so 9-5 over 5-1. You're going to probably have to pet it more than once.
If this depends on how many ham sandwiches I have, Bobby. I love it, baby. This is my time of the year, baby. This is what I live for. This is what I live for now.
And, all right, well.
I can't wait, and I'm telling, one thing about pleasure horses, they tend to improve, guys. When they break out, they tend to improve. Oh, Lord.
All right, buddy. Well, drive safe. Have a great weekend at Oaklawn, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
All right. Charles in Mississippi loves Skelly, likes a Dare Manor and Taxed. And he's a Mystic. He is holding on to Mystic Dan. Dan ran a sneaky, pretty good race in the Wood Memorial, and he is going to be completely in the Arkansas Derby. Yeah. He is going to be completely overlooked and not talked about at all. And he's one that, you know, if the pace is solid, I mean, he looks like he can run all day. And, you know, we say if he can get a clean trip, which those are big ifs when you talk about big closers like him in Sierra Leone. But if he can somehow wind his way through and get a good trip, that horse looks like he's going to be coming at a big price in the Derby.
Yeah, and you've seen some horses like Looking at Lee and others that have placed in those stakes and then come on and maybe not won the Derby, but run good races, hit the board. And Charles also mentioned Thorpita Anna, and there's a filly for me, Peak, that won her first two races at Churchill by Open Lens and was second to Goldenrod. She obviously has trained there, raced there, likes Churchill. So she moves forward off of her win in the fantasy. She could be I like her as a Kentucky Oaks contender, but that's a race where it's seriously, you're eight deep with contenders, and I don't know who's going to be favored in there. I honestly think that if Ways and Means draws into the race, she could potentially be a lukewarm favorite. I might be wrong. It might be more like Leslie's Rose, but that's shaping up to be a heck of a race.
All right, we're going to take our final break. Still time for a call or two if you want to get in. 888-966-4776. Brisnet.com call and show on HRRN.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com call in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on tonight's edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully, number to get in, 888-966-4776. James, anything special going on at BrisNet or Twin Spires this weekend?
Well, definitely at BrisNet, we have got reports for Keeneland going on right now. We will have some packages for Kentucky Derby Week and Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks reports. So we'll be advertising those as well. So we have terrific past performances, tons of handicapping reports, analysis, workout information, as well as breeding and data files and much, much more. Check out BrisNet.com. At TwinSpires.com, we're going to have a money-back promotion for select races this weekend at Keeneland, and I believe other tracks, at least at Keeneland. We also have a daily double promotion, so check out the offers pages, where if you hit two daily doubles, we'll give you a 25% bonus. It's pretty good. I did it on opening day. Check out the offers page at TwinSpires and make sure you opt in.
Speaking of Keeneland, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the Grade 3 Lexington, which is the Saturday feature. It is a points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby, 20 points to the winner, and if Hades wins the race, he will have enough points to qualify for this year's Kentucky Derby. What are your thoughts on this year's Lexington Stakes?
Well, I definitely think Hades is going to be – he's got a rider switch to Jose Ortiz, and I think he's going to look to be hustling him from the start. You know, I'm doubting him, though, you know, at short prices. You know, I think the Juan Stewart's going to potentially show speed off the layoff from inside. You know, I don't know about him going a mile on the 16th in his return race from that inside post, but I think he could be hustling. And I think it might set up okay for a couple runners like – Liberal Arts, you know, Liberal Arts, I just thought lost all chance on the first turn of the Arkansas Derby. You know, their connections run this Airgate Colt right back 2 weeks later in the Lexington. They're going to look for an improved effort. And as well as Encino, who I thought, you know, is like a raw, big raw colt for Brett Cox, who didn't get going until late in the stretch of the Battaglia Memorial in that race, you know. It was a sign of, like, good things to come in my mind. So I got it Liberal Arts and Sino 1-2 in the Lexington.
And there are horses that, if they win, could get close enough to be at least on the also eligibles list of the Kentucky Derby. But Hades is the only one that really controls his fate, whether he's in or out. So there are plenty of connections.
Yeah, and he's definitely in, and – you know, definitely Liberal Arts is going to have a chance to get in because there might be a couple of defections if he wins. But the other ones in there, like Lucky Jeremy and Encino, they're still going to be a little bit up against it, even with a victory.
James, this is not a horse racing thing, but I have to ask you, are you do you follow baseball at all?
Yeah, of course. I'm a big Reds fan.
You obviously know of the story that came out a few weeks ago regarding Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, and it turns out that he's serious, a degenerate gambler.
They're saying $16 million.
So I was reading today that this was per the complaint. He made approximately 19,000 wagers between December of 21 and January of 24, so a little over 2 years, around 25 a day. The bets ranged from $10 to $160,000. He bet $183 million in that time. Overall, got back $142 million, net loss of $40.678 million. And then it says no bets on baseball. So somehow there were no bets on baseball, despite the fact that he's the interpreter for the, if not the best player in baseball, one of the best players in baseball. And by the way, it turns out that he stole, it wasn't $4 million from Shohei's account, it was like $16 million. And I'm wondering how good I have to be doing in life that somebody could steal $16 million from me and I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, it seems sort of preposterous. They're coming up with these theories of how he manipulated, like, his banking accounts and notifications and stuff like that. But the whole story sounded fishy from the start. And I know they're saying, hey, there's no baseball bets, but gosh, I wonder if every single wager has been, like, you know, forensically analyzed to make sure of that, because, you know, that's what would ultimately doom him. You know, that guy can bet on everything else like he has, like make a million bets in a row, but he makes one bet on a baseball game, and because he's associated with Ohtani, he's in trouble with that association. And so it's really critically important to Major League Baseball and all their partners for their interest that that interpreter didn't bet on baseball.
Listen, I'm a Dodger fan, lifelong Dodger fan. I hope that Ohtani didn't do anything. It seems, even if he's, you know, found completely, you know, free and clear of all this, it just seems so odd to believe that he could know nothing about this. I hope he doesn't know anything about it and everything, and he's, you know, it all goes away. It seems very, very odd. By the way, James, on a horse racing note, I see that you are going to be part of the Equine Forum Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. Our good friend Mike Penna is going to speak with trainer Phil D'Amato, looking back on Stronghold's big win in the Santa Anita Derby. He's also going to speak with owner Rick Waldman as he shares his thoughts on Wood Memorial winner resilience. Trainers Nacho Correas and Robbie Medina look ahead to their runners in Saturday's graded stakes at Keeneland. David Aragona from the Racing Form shares his thoughts on top Derby contenders. James Scully, as I mentioned, going to be providing this week's triple play. Kurt Becker takes you on his weekly stroll through racing history. I'll be along with Calling All Three-Year-Olds presented by Spendthrift. Dale Roman's Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. Huge edition of the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires this Saturday morning here on the network, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time, and every Saturday morning here on HRRN. All right, James, so with the exception of what happens in the Lexington, we pretty much know who is going to be in this year's Kentucky Derby. I don't know about you. If Hades, there's nothing Hades can do in the Lexington that would make me think that he is a serious win contender in the Kentucky Derby. Maybe, you know, him being in or being out. There's a few other horses, you know, somewhere 20th, 21st, 22nd on the list that could be sneaky third or fourth horses when you're playing your tries and supers. But we know the who was going to be in the Derby. So what's our next steps? Are we just watching to make sure that no one takes missteps during workouts and then see where they draw on the week before?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a big level of intrigue with this Forever Young. Yeah, sure, people know about him. He's unbeaten. He's the best two-year-old ever to perform on dirt in Japan, at least ratings-wise. And they know about him, but they haven't seen him yet. And he's going to come and train at Churchill Downs here pretty soon. And I think it'll be important to see how he's doing. I look at the Derby, Bobby. I got four horses that are A contenders. Fiercest, Sierra Leone, Forever Young, and Catching Freedom. Everybody else after that is like next level below.
Going to be a lot of fun. And I think we have very strong quality, both Derby and Oaks fields this year, and several different ways you can go, you know, in either of those. Fierceness certainly looks strong. Sierra Leone looks strong. There are definitely question marks for both of them, though. It's going to be a fun Oaks and Derby this year, and we've still got several weeks to talk about them. That's going to wrap it up on tonight's edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show. Our thanks to all the callers and the listeners. For producer Lee Delapina, my co-host James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great night, everybody.